This is Wade Rathke. This is Wade's World on KABF 88.3 FM. 100,000 watts of people power. We're the voice of the people, broadcasting from Little Rock, Arkansas, live streaming at www.kabf.org and available on podcast, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe Monday. You know the story on Wade's World. Every Friday between 9 and 9:30, we talk to the most interesting people in the world. And today we're talking to Grace Morris, who's a senior organizer for the Gulf Restoration Network. You've heard about the Gulf. We got problems down there, BP spills and a lot of other things. Grace, welcome to Wade's World.
Thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. So give us a sense of what the network has been up to. Because it's not a new organization. It's been around for a couple years.
Yeah, Gulf Restoration Network has been around we're on our 21st year. And we were founded to protect and restore the natural resources of the Gulf of Mexico. So we're actually the only regional organization in the that looks at all of the different ecosystem impacts to the Gulf, to our coast, and to our communities.
So you mean Texas and Louisiana, Mississippi, the whole nine yards?
Yes, yes.
All the way to Florida?
All the way to Florida.
Oh, wow. Well, you guys really have a job. So how are we doing? Are we restoring the Gulf?
Well, we're coming up on the fifth commemoration of the BP drilling disaster, so it's still the largest drilling disaster in U.S. history. And so I'd say we have a ways to go.
And we're still messing with BP, aren't we?
Oh, yes. That would be a whole conversation. But
well, we might get into it. We'll see. Right. But part of what you've been working on is coal. Now, we don't mine much coal along the Gulf Coast. So what's the story with coal? What are you trying to deal with that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Wade. The coal isn't coming from the Gulf South, but there's a lot of proposals to bring coal through our communities to export them. So it's not coal that would, you know, benefit the energy grid in our communities. It's only coal to be sold for export. And in Louisiana, we actually have the second highest committed capacity to export coal in the U.S., second to Hampton Roads in Virginia. And so we're already seeing some really, really felt impacts by communities in coastal Louisiana along the Mississippi River, where coal export terminals, they're just huge mounds of uncovered coal, and they're really dusty. So if you live next to one, you're getting coal dust on your boat.
You're sucking it in, aren't you? Yeah, you're just breathing that stuff, aren't you?
Exactly. And, yep.
It's on the Mississippi River. It's on the Gulf Coast. Where is most of this coal end up stacking up?
Yeah, it's the port of southern Louisiana. So it's between Baton Rouge and the Gulf. So all the way from Baton Rouge to the Plaquemines Parish, and a lot of the committed capacity is in the expansion. Opportunity that the coal industry sees is in Plaquemines Parish, which is all the way downriver, the last parish before the Gulf. And there are already two existing coal export terminals, Kinder Morgan's IMT and Oil Tanking's United Bulk. And there's a third proposed coal export terminal, Ram Coal Export Terminal.
Now, everything we hear and read, oil prices are dropping. Almost everybody's running from coal. So are you saying there's a third coal port that's being proposed down to take coal out of the Gulf to the Mississippi River?
There is. The Ram Coal Export Terminal wants to build another coal export terminal where there's already two existing ones that are not operating at capacity. And so when we talk about, you know, what's the math behind this and what's the economic incentive? There really isn't any. We're not seeing the coal industry really, as you said, it's been hard hit the last several years. It's been going out for a while. And even though there's all of this capacity in Louisiana to move coal, it's not moving. And so all of the existing facilities are operating at half or less than half what they're what they would want to be operating at, just because of market conditions. So it absolutely doesn't make sense to put another coal export terminal.
It doesn't seem to. Now, I missed the name of who you said was trying to build this third one. Repeat that for me.
Sure. It's the Ram Terminals. Ram Terminals. It's an out-of-state company based in Kentucky.
Well, they know something about coal in Kentucky, but I don't know if that's what they're in love with anymore. But I guess they're trying. I know we read about Majority Leader O'Connell. I mean, he's trying to do everything he can to get a better break for coal. But is anybody buying coal? Where do they ship it from? Where are they shipping it to? I'm sorry. Where's this coal going?
Yeah, that's a question that's always really important. And I think that there's sort of two answers. But right now, it's going to Europe. And shipping costs, really, a lot of people talk about Asia and Asian markets, but the reality is that the shipping costs are just too high right now. And so the coal that's coming from Louisiana or through Louisiana would be slated to go to Europe.
And they must be reducing their dependency on coal in Europe as well, aren't they?
Yeah, Europe has a very robust initiative to green its energy grid. And so, absolutely. So, yeah, it's just more evidence in terms of where the market's going to go. And shipping costs are really too high right now for this coal to go to Asia.
I was at a conference recently, Grace, that they were talking about a lot of the economics behind the coal industry up at New York University. And what they were saying is that they're scrapping a lot of these coal port projects on the West Coast, which I guess would have been destined for China, but China has reduced its coal use. And, you know, it sounded like three out of four projects on the West Coast of the U.S., almost all the West Coast projects, maybe something around Vancouver was still active. But it's surprising. Is that true information, or it's surprising we still have a new proposal in Louisiana and the Gulf Coast here when they're scrapping it on the West Coast?
I mean, it's all true. It begs the question why. I think it definitely doesn't make sense for local communities. In Louisiana, we talk a lot about our coastal crisis. We lose a football field of coastal wetlands every hour. And what we've seen is coal export terminals are really dirty facilities, and we've done a lot of flyovers and trips that document how dirty existing coal export terminals are. And so we know that they're polluting the river that's ending up in our coastal. We have coal ending up in our coastal restoration projects. And then we also know that communities don't want mile-long uncovered coal trains blowing dust through their backyards and turning their historic small communities into industrial corridors. And so locally, it's definitely something that Louisiana is standing up against. And then globally, it doesn't really make sense to invest in coal anymore.
Now, have you been on one of these flyovers yourself?
I have.
Well, why don't you tell us all about what those look like? What do you really see when you're up there? It must be both exhilarating and very disturbing.
It is. The first flyover I went on was actually right after the BP drilling disaster, which was a flight I'll never forget because it was when the New York Times announced that the oil was gone and you could still see sheen for miles.
Were you in a helicopter, I assume, or a small light craft, or what?
Small plane.
Okay.
Small plane. And this is a Gulf Restoration Network. We do monitoring trips ever since the BP drilling disaster to document what's going on. We really learned the hard way that there isn't a lot of accountability in the Gulf South and for different industrial operators. And what we saw flying over the river out to the Gulf was that there are all these facilities along the Mississippi River, and there's a few coal export terminals, and every time we've gone up, we've documented coal spilling into the river and just a blackened riverbank, and all of that is illegal spillage. And so we've actually filed a lawsuit with our partners at the Louisiana Environment Environmental Action Network and the Sierra Club, with the Tulane Environmental Law Clinic, we were challenging one coal export terminal for those legal discharges. And
I assume you're documenting it with video of some kind?
We do have some video footage, yes. Yep, and so we've actually, our video footage has been used on local TV, and it really paints the picture what it looks like to just fly over and see these huge uncovered mounds of coal that are spilling into the river, especially when they're loading and unloading coal. The other thing is, in Louisiana, we get storms. Every storm season, we get tropical storms, we get hurricanes, and what we saw with Isaac in 2012, with Hurricane Isaac in 2012, is all of this coal just gets moved from the facility into our coastal wetlands or into our communities. And in 2012, Wood Park, which is a small community in Plaquemines Parish, got inundated with coal slurry from Kinder Morgan's IMT.
Amazing. And you won't believe this, but in Arkansas many, many years ago in the early 70s, they were building a coal fire plant, which in fact does exist in White Bluff between Pine Bluff and Little Rock. And they were going to build a slurry pipeline from the Powder River Basin, Fort Union coal deposit up in Wyoming, Montana, North Dakota, and that area, in order to slurry from a water-deprived area coal down to White Bluff. That was, at the time it was proposed, until we beat it back, it was going to be the largest coal-burning plant in the United States. But can you imagine? And so, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about with slurry, just water, coal dust, bits of this, that, and the other. And that's what they're going to be mining in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, it sounds like, huh, Grace?
Well, and it's amazing to hear you tell that story. And there's just so many different impacts that this industry has on so many different communities across the country and the world. It's, I think it's heartening that communities have been able to, one at a time, kind of protect their own communities, but we really have to do better. And it's definitely time to move past coal.
Now, do these new coal ports, they must have to file environmental impact statements, no?
Well,
uh-oh,
no,
sounds like I'm wrong. I guess I was, that was a hope and a prayer rather than a question. So what, they don't have to file them, Grace?
So, well, this gets a little policy and wonky.
Hey, we can hang in on Wade's World. You've got listeners on the edge of their seat now, Grace. Go for it.
Okay. There's sort of two options when you're looking at the impact of a project. You can do an environmental assessment, an EA, or you can require an environmental impact statement, an EIS. And the latter, which you mentioned, is a more comprehensive analysis. And when you do an environmental impact statement, you're getting a much fuller idea of the benefits and also the cost of the facility to weigh a decision against giving it a permit. However, more often than not in Louisiana, we just do not see our public agencies holding industry to that level of comprehensive analysis. And more often than not, projects get pushed through with a simple written environmental assessment statement.
And is Louisiana worse or better than the other Gulf Coast states?
That is, I mean, I think in moments, we're not Florida. I think there's Florida and then there's the rest of us.
Oh, okay. And Florida's better?
So, Florida's generally better.
Well, isn't that interesting? That's good to know, because, this is all worrisome news you're bringing to us. We're talking to Grace Morris. She's a senior organizer for the Gulf Restoration Network, and she's been telling us about the proposal to build, another coal port in southern Louisiana near the junction of the Mississippi River and the Gulf Coast. And we've been talking generally about coal. Now, Grace, you said this Kentucky company is trying to do this new port. Is most of the coal that's coming through coming from West Virginia and Kentucky, or is it coming from the West?
Most of the coal that we're seeing come through Louisiana is coming from the Illinois River Basin.
Okay.
And there's a little Appalachian coal, but that's...
goes to Hampton. You said Virginia was another big source, huh?
Yep. Exactly.
So that's where Appalachia goes that way, and we take southern Illinois and Ohio and that area?
Exactly, exactly. So that coal is coming through down the Mississippi River and through Louisiana. And then we do get a little bit of Powder River Basin coal, but it's very at this time it's really hard to track, actually, where that coal is coming from and how it reaches Louisiana.
Crazy. So what does a senior or, you know, we got policy and wonky for a second there, which was very helpful, actually. But so what does a senior organizer do to help make a difference on all this?
Yeah, well, I'd say that, you know, one of the roles that Golf Restoration Network plays and that I specifically play is to make sure that the information is not just online, hidden in some state database or federal database, that people have the information in their own hands and are, you know, making decisions about what's happening in their own communities. And so I organize a lot of public meetings and make sure that we do a lot of public education so that people, I mean, when I first started working on this effort, a lot of folks did not know, pretty much everyone did not know that there was a proposed coal export terminal that would add to the communities that are right next to the proposed coal export terminal, that would add more coal dust and really inundate the community with coal dust. Also, the communities that would be impacted by these mile-long uncovered coal trains had no idea of the proposal, and their own public officials hadn't filled them in. So it was definitely a process where there was a lot of information, and there was pushback and a lot of misinformation from the local railroad company and other folks who had some kind of financial stake in this project. And so it's been a long process of making sure the information is public, making sure that people have the opportunity to call in their public officials to challenge this project. And fortunately, we've seen a huge amount of local organizing that's community-led, where people are working with decision makers to pass resolutions. There's been five resolutions passed against the Ram Coal Export Terminal. We've also engaged in some legal tactics to make sure that the coastal use permit, which I'm glad we kind of talked about the environmental impact statement, because we definitely think that this project warrants a comprehensive analysis, and we're still sort of fighting that battle in court. At the same time, a lot of the community hasn't had a chance to voice any public comment, and so we've been really advocating for a public hearing on this project, and we're just in March promised from the Department of Natural Resources that we would get a public hearing before they would reissue a permit. And so there have been some really encouraging steps, because there have been communities in Gretna, and which is on the west bank of the Mississippi River across from New Orleans, and Plaquemines Parish, all these, a very diverse spectrum of Republicans and Democrats and just people from all different kinds of communities working together to challenge the coal export terminal.
Now, Grace, we come from a tradition of door-knocking fools. Do you get to do a lot of door-knocking to talk to people? And what's your rap? Do you hit that door and say, hey, you want to breathe coal, or what? How do you work this?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so good to talk to an organizer.
We get down to the nuts and bolts on Wage World. We want to give you some other, you know, folks to get with you.
Yeah, no, this is great. So we definitely at the, you know, whenever we kind of start initial public meetings, there's door knocking followed by phone banking. I'd say that our wrap is pretty straightforward. Louisiana cares a lot about coastal restoration. We know that it's the linchpin to having an economic future and for the unique cultures that call Louisiana home to be able to stay here moving forward. We really need to restore our coast and prioritize coastal restoration. So we talk a lot about how this project would impact coastal restoration. And then, I mean, everyone everyone values public health and quality of life. And that's been a huge concern with coal export terminals, is they would bring a huge impact to public health, to anyone who has asthma, to anyone who has a heart condition, to children, to the elderly. And so there's so many different public health issues and then quality of life issues when you turn a residential historic community into an industrial corridor by running.
It probably catches some people off guard because down in these coastal Gulf Coast communities, they're so used to the oil industry. In fact, that's still a big employer in a lot of these communities, that to all of a sudden hear coal is the issue, that must wrong foot a fair number of folks when you're dealing with them. But I bet their ears do perk up when they hear that there's yet more problems on top of all the other problems they're having down on the coast.
Yeah, that's a good point with the fossil fuel industry. And coal coal isn't from here, so it's really not. It's not the oil and gas industry in Louisiana. It doesn't really have a presence here. So I'd say that in terms of political opposition, there isn't what you have in terms of other areas where you're mining coal, where you have politicians who are going to bat for the industry. You don't have that here.
Well, that's a relief. I mean, because there's always a proposal in the Louisiana legislature to change the name of the state from Louisiana to Oiliana. But there's never been a proposal that I know of to change it to coal something, and that's probably more of a Kentucky, West Virginia problem. You spent time, I knew you must have be hitting the doors because I noticed you spent some time with Green Corps, right? That's a great group of, it's a great training program for people who are going to be on the ground environmental organizers, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I've cut my teeth knocking on doors. I run, three public outreach fundraising campaigns, two for Gulf Restoration Network, one for Environment North Carolina. So I've done a lot. I've logged thousands of conversations in Louisiana and across the Gulf Coast.
Well, and full disclosure, I did a number of training sessions for Green Corps, both in Boston when they used to have a headquarters there, and in Denver. So, and then we had a great campaign to stop the privatization of the Sewer and Water Board in New Orleans some years ago, and we had a crew of a half dozen what we call water girls. They call themselves that. I'm not sure we should say it, but anyway, they were six young women from Green Corps that were just invaluable, coupled with the rest of the ACORN organizers and the union organizers. So, Green Corps, y'all hit some doors. You know how to put the flesh to the wood, and that probably helps in getting, if you have a public hearing coming, that ought to be a big event, huh?
Exactly, yep. And so we actually have right now a list of more than 1,000 people that we've talked to in the last 6 to 9 months that have all been one-on-one conversations, either with an organizer or with a local community volunteer organizer. We've gone deep, and I think it makes all the difference because when you have that conversation, that one-on-one conversation, you really can get at the details. And I think the policy and some of the permitting documents, they can seem really intimidating, and they have such an impact on local communities. So it's really... I never want people turning to me. I want, people just looking at the document and themselves being able to hold their decision maker accountable. And
that's why we call KVF the voice of the people. Now, in Arkansas, years ago, they used to mine coal around Van Buren and Fort Smith in the western part of the state, but it's largely played out. But what can people, obviously this show will be heard in New Orleans on the local New Orleans station, but in Arkansas, where we're broadcasting today, what can people do to help in this Gulf Coast restoration project?
Thank you so much. There's a number of things that folks can do. I mean, I think we have a national petition. RAM Terminals, this coal company, they have backing in New York, so even though this is a local fight, it's very much part of this national conversation about where we're moving our, you know, where we're getting our energy from and how we're working, why we're exporting coal that's coming from our communities and harming our communities. So folks can definitely sign a petition.
That, well, how do they do that? Is there a website people can go to?
Yeah.
If so, let's tell them what it is, Grace.
Sure. It's Healthy Gulf. So just Healthy Gulf, like the Gulf of Mexico.org. It's a Coast Not Coal campaign.
Okay, so www.healthygulf.org, is that right?
Yes.
And then
yes.
They look for, what did you say?
Coast Not Coal.
Coast Not Coal. That's catchy. Got that one. Okay, Coast Not Coal. And, okay, so we can all sign a petition, but that's a little lame. What else can they do? I bet you can always use money to support this campaign, Grace. Don't swallow the ask. You know that. You've been trained.
It's true. It's true. And definitely, I'd say that we, you know, the Gulf South is an area where there's so much good work being done in these battleground states. And so I really encourage people to go to our website and to donate. You can do that at healthygulf.org as well.
And there's a button, a PayPal or a donate now or some kind of a button there that people can just click and send you a couple of bucks. You can't miss it. I bet you know, and when you go on the KBF site or any of our sites, that's true too. You can't miss it. And if people have questions and want to know more about this campaign and how they can help you, Grace, how do they get in touch with either you or somebody else? Is it once again www.healthygulf.org, or is there another info at something, or how do people do that?
Well, people can definitely reach out to me directly. So my email is grace@healthygulf.org. And my phone number is on the website. So under our staff, you can get my email, you can get my phone number,
And you can find out that you worked at Green Corps and Corporate Accountability International. So yeah, we can find out way too much about you on your website. But
you really get my bio.
That's right. So it's Grace. Can't be easier than that. Grace@healthygulf.org. If you have questions for Grace, because this coal thing is something that if we're going to deal with the climate we need to deal with, and half of Arkansas that, you know, has enough money to put a tank of gas in their car comes down to the Gulf Coast sometime during the summer and gets a little sunshine and beach time. And we want you not to have to wash off oil globs from BP and cough up coal dust. And that's part of what Grace and the Gulf Coast Network are doing, along with trying to save land and everything else. We've promised, Grace, that we're going to have some more conversation about this, because you have some colleagues, I guess, that are hard on this issue in Texas and elsewhere in the Gulf as well, right?
Yes, exactly. And that Arkansas-Louisiana connection is definitely dear to my heart, because the Ozarks is where I head to get into the hills.
Okay, so, yeah, the road goes both ways, Grace. And on May 1st, Wade's World is going to interview some people from Texas, from publiccitizen.org, who are also involved in this coalition. So we're gonna dig deep here and see what we need. Now, Grace has told people if you want to support the organization in this fight, get on the website, www.healthygulf.org. Look for the donate button. If it doesn't jump out and grab you, you can find it. And we need you to sign the petition to take a look at this Coast Not Coal campaign that Grace and other people are involved in. And that's also www.healthygulf.org. Grace, thank you for being on Wade's World. This is Wade's World every Friday, 9 to 9:30. We're on KBF.org, KBF 88.3 FM, and WAMF 90.3 FM in New Orleans. Coming on the air, coming to you. 100,000 watts of people power. This is the voice of the people. Thank you from Wade's World.